Before we look into God's word, let us turn to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have gathered ourselves together, and again this is in this afternoon hour. And we pray, Father, that you will be our only guide in our prayer, our thoughts, and that you'll be with us as we call upon thee, as we trust in thee, and be thou our only teacher. Use the lips of clay as thou would have it, and may thy word go forth in truth and simplicity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With God's help this afternoon, I'd like to read out of the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And there a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one is called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, providing that this is the very Christ. And after the many days were filled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in a way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down from Caesarea and sent him forth to Damascus. Then all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. I'd like to stop with the 31st verse.
Thanks, Lord, our Father and our God, we marvel at the works of thy hands. Lord, that thou hast taken a heart that has been defiant and had a desire to persecute and deliver even to death those that called upon thy name, Father, and thou hast changed his heart. Father, that he would come to know who is the Lord, and that he would, Lord, that thou wouldst make thyself manifest to him. And so, Father, we are thankful. Thankful for thy great power, thy great glory, Lord, that we can behold. And Father, we have read of this instance many times in our lives, Father, and we marvel each time we read it. Lord, how powerful thou art, even with thy presence, and when thou dost shine forth it as light, Lord, and when thy voice comes forth, that those that would hear would fall to the ground. Father, we just thank thee for who thou art and thy greatness and thy great power, Lord, and we thank thee for the power of the Holy Spirit that has been here upon this earth, Lord, since the Lord Jesus Christ has risen and is working in our hearts even in this day. Lord, we just pray thee that we would love thee with fullness of heart, Lord, and that we would love our neighbor as ourself. Father, for thou art worthy, and Lord, no man can give more unto us than what thou hast given unto us. And so we just pray thee that we would go forth in thee, claiming the name of Jesus, preaching in his name, speaking forth of the great things that Jesus Christ has done, and that there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. There is no way to heaven besides through Jesus Christ. And so we just pray thee that we would be faithful adherents of of Jesus Christ, that we would live for him and do his will. Father, help us there too. We need thy grace. Father, we can do nothing of ourselves. So help us to abide in the vine, Lord, that we might bear fruit unto thee and glorify thy name. Father, as days grow dark in this world, Father, may the light of Jesus Christ through us shine forth. And may, Lord, as Saul had in this time, as he proclaimed Jesus throughout the synagogues immediately after he received this revelation, Father, that we would continue also in this same manner, Father, to preach and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, Father, we just give thee thanks now for this opportunity to hear thy word being brought forth to us. We just pray thee that thy spirit would speak to our hearts, that we would redeem this time and that we would use it wisely to thine honor and to thy glory, that we would even also remember it, Lord, as we go from this place, and that we, dear Father, would have this thy word continuously upon our hearts and upon our minds, that we would recall the verses and recall the thoughts, Lord, continually of what thy spirit would speak to us. Father, for those that know thee not, Lord, we would not tire to pray, Father, that they would come to this revelation and to this knowledge, that they might come to know Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ can save them from their sin, and he can give them, Lord, we know, Lord, that thou dost can give unto these our friends, Father, an abundant peace and joy, Lord, if they but come to the cross, Father, and deny themselves and are baptized and walk in this newness of life. Father, we just give thee thanks for all things that thou dost do for us and for who thou art. Lord, we cannot give thee enough thanks for all of that. And Father, we just know that as life goes on, Father, in our years, Lord, that we struggle with great difficulties of life. Father, we just pray thee that we would feel thy presence and that thou wouldst, that thy comforter, Lord, would comfort as we would go through trials and difficulties in this life. Lord, we know and have been reminded this morning that we cannot trust in man, Father, but we can freely and fully trust in thee. And so we know that thou dost love us and that thou dost care for us and has a desire to pour out thy blessings upon each and every one of us in an abundant measure. Help us to live in an abiding faith in thee and having this trust in thee, Lord, that thou wilt provide. Thou wilt provide, not ourselves, not other men, but thou wilt provide for each and every one of us. Many are the things and petitions that we can bring before thee. We're thankful that thou dost know us all and knows our needs. We just pray thee that thou wilt fulfill our needs and that thou wilt be our all in all, Lord, and that we might experience thy exceeding great grace in our lives. These things we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
As our brother prayed, this is, yes, a very familiar portion of Scripture that perhaps many times we have read, many messages have stemmed from this portion. But the thing that stands out to me the most in this is how God can use someone, change them in such a dramatic way as he did Saul. Now we know that the scriptures, and when we read the epistles that he had wrote and to the churches and how the word of God developed and how there's so much instruction from the apostle Paul wrote about and how he was used in the work of the Lord, that it's almost hard to believe that he was this man as it talks here. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord and went into the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he, if he found any this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he was very adamant, if you will, in his thought and what he thought ought to be done, because you see, he was so familiar with the Pharisees and the way they dealt with the religious sect at that time that he looked at this way of Jesus Christ as an absolute false doctrine, whatever he might have called it or whatever, how he's ever thought of this. It doesn't really matter, and it doesn't really say. But nevertheless, he was convinced that they were wrong, that they needed to be penalized, slaughtered even some of them, put them in prison, and he was totally convinced that this is the way it ought to be. Until when he was given the permission to go to Damascus, and I'm not certain how far that is away, but on his way, he met the Lord. When you meet the Lord, we all probably have met him in different ways in our lives. There's probably different situations that we went through, that we experienced, that those of us that are converted and have met the Lord and become followers of his, begin to believe in him, trust in him, and eventually become baptized, and we're followers of of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see, there's different ways. I don't know of anyone that was ever blinded to this extent that he was put to his knees, led by the hand, and he says he didn't eat for 3 days, eat or drink for 3 days. Now that to me is a very dramatic way, if you will, to have to come to the Lord. My own experience was nothing like that. I simply heard by telephone that my uncle died in an automobile accident. And it just like that, just like he come to the Lord and said, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" The same thing happened with my wife and I at that time. We were not ready to die. He died unexpectedly, automobile accident. We never know when this can happen. So there's different ways that the Lord speaks to us, comes to our knowledge, and then we decide it's time to repent. I heard the message many times. I heard sermons. We went to church faithfully. I was already 26 years old. Had a wife and 3 kids. And so I successfully avoided the call of God for that many years until that phone call came and it woke me up. And so we see here that the apostle Paul, when he was, and he called him Saul, when he was persecuting the church, the Lord said, "That's enough." Blinded him, put him to the ground, humbled him as low as he could get. And when you're blind, I've never been blind in my life. I take that back. I was. I was working working with electric welding, and I was welding reinforcing rods. And when you electric weld, you don't know exactly where to flash it, and you touch it. But you got these dark glasses on. You can't see where you're supposed to be touching it. So I would take the shield off like this, and I would look to see where, and then I'd hit it, and that flash would hit my eyes. Just instantaneously, not much, didn't seem to be much at all. But I'd done it so many times. That night, when I went to bed, I tried to sleep, and my eyes felt like there was just like somebody took a dump truck and dumped a load of sand right in my face. And that's just what it felt like. These scales was on my eyes, and I couldn't see. And I was scared. I was about 19 years old. I come upstairs, and I called my mom and dad, and I said, you got to help me. Something's wrong. I can't see nothing. And so didn't know what to do. So then my dad said, "Well, there's a pharmacy downtown Akron that is open all night. I'll go down and get some ointment and I'll be back." And so that's what he did, put the stuff on my eyes. And by morning then, the scales had kind of come off, if you will, and I was able to see. That's the only blindness that I could have. But that's a very frightening thing, to be blinded like that. And this is the way Saul was blinded. But this is what the Lord had to do to him to call him to his senses. "Look, we've had enough of you. No more persecution. This is what I want you to do." He said, "Lord, okay, what do you want me to do?" What puzzled me out of this, how do you know it's the Lord? We see lights, bright lights, sunshine. How did he know this was the Lord? The Lord made sure that he knew who he was. And that's why he could say, "But Lord, what would you have me to do?" And so as we see with the instructions here, go into the town and I'll tell you what you gotta do. So they led him, they took him in, took him to this house. As it says here, he didn't eat for 3 days and 3 nights and still blind. And then he saw in a vision that this Ananias was gonna come help him. Sure enough, the Lord spoke to Ananias, said, "Look, I want you to go there and see this. Go to this house There's a man called Saul of Tarsus. He's there praying. And of course, Ananias. Him being a disciple of the Lord, knew very well this man. Everybody, I'm sure, in the whole region knew who this Saul fellow was. They was afraid of him, deadly afraid of him. He made no beans about who he was, and he made sure that he's going to take all the Christians that he could. And so this word got around. Ananias rightfully was fearful. But nevertheless, we read here that he listened to what the Lord said. And I think that we need to take a lesson out of that. When we got fear, when we got doubts, when we wonder, and we're not sure what to do, and the Lord speaks to us, then we need to listen up. Listen to what the Lord, the small, still voice, has to say to us. And do what it tells us, whatever that might be. And so this is what I believe Ananias, being very close to what the Lord, he just says he was a disciple. He don't say he was a pastor, he was a deacon or nothing like that. He was just a disciple of the Lord. But he obviously was very tuned to what the Spirit would teach him. When the Lord spoke to him, go and see this man. But he'd done just like any one of us would have probably done. Yeah, but Lord, I heard this, I heard that. This man's dangerous, and that's exactly what we do today. When the Lord says something to us, yeah, but Lord, I this and I that, and I whatever the excuses we got, and it, we got them, every one of us got them, no matter what it is, we give it that yeah, but, I this, I can't do that. No, don't give the Lord that yeah, but, just look, this is what I want you to do, and you need to believe it, and you need to do it. And so this is exactly then what Ananias did. He went. Sure enough, Saul was there. And it's interesting to me, he says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Now, I thought that was interesting. Brother Saul. He was afraid of this man. He was an enemy of Christ, much less a brother. But the Lord revealed to him, you see how tuned and close tuned he was with the Lord? He called him Brother Saul. I thought that very interesting. And so he says to him, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That had to be very comforting words to Saul. Because he said, he mentions here that the Lord has told him a man named Ananias is going to come and give you your sight. And so now here he is. Sure enough, it came through. And then it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. Very interesting. And the reason I find that so interesting is because, okay, so we have a soul that the Lord has touched, the Lord has called, and they want to give their life to the Lord. Very well. They usually get together with the ministers or the elder or someone, do a little counseling, make sure you understand the doctrine, make sure you understand what you're getting into, make sure that you know what baptism's all about, make sure you believe in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. That's all part of this understanding and believing, so we counsel with them. Sometimes it takes several counseling, sometimes it takes more. For some people, it's even a little bit less. Here with Saul, that didn't happen. It just says that he was baptized. He said he had scales fell off his eyes and received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. So you see, there's a way that the Lord deals with us in different ways. We're not all the same. With Saul, it was like instantly. It was instant. He was, an amazing part is that he was so willing, so ready at that point in his life, because the Lord had spoke to him so reverently, if you will, or however it was, he spoke to Saul, and Saul took it as, this is the Lord telling me. It was no doubts in his mind. And so that probably increased his instant faith that he had in Jesus Christ, even though he went about persecuting Christians, hauling them off, sending them to prison, whatever he'd done to them, and completely taken a completely turnabout 180 degrees, if you will, and go the other way. And so this is what we find here in this story that he happened to him. And so it says, and when he received his had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Talk about a turnaround. Now, it doesn't give us a whole lot of time lapse here. The only thing it says, that he was 3 days without sight and without drink and without eat. And then all of a sudden, he becomes a preacher. He went into the synagogues. He was totally convinced. You see, when we come to the Lord, and the Lord has called us and spoke to us, we have to be totally convinced. If we have doubts, if we have skeptical, if we give it that yeah, but, the Lord has a hard time working with us. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You know what that means? That means forsake everything that you ever had, ever thought of, or ever wanted to do. You know, sometimes we want to try to hold on to some of the things that we did in our lives, especially young people. And I can remember thinking, I got to give up this, I got to give up that, I give up this. I ain't so sure I want to give up all this stuff. And you know what? I didn't. And furthermore, I didn't become one of God's children. I had too many things that I didn't want to give up. I wasn't convinced. I wasn't thoroughly convinced like Saul. I had to be totally convinced, totally committed to what I want. And once I was, I never looked back. Never looked back. Because there was nothing that offered. Nothing was there to offer. None of the things that I thought was so important meant nothing to me. All I knew is I wanted to serve the Lord with my whole heart, my whole soul, and all my strength. And that's what God wants of us. This is what Saul had to do. And this is what he did. He gave everything up. No more killing. No more surrender. No more chasing after these Christians. No. He went to the synagogue and he preached Jesus Christ. The very one that he was persecuting, kicking against. Now he's preaching. He's the Son of God. And it says, and all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither to that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. I can only imagine what that had to be like for Saul. You know, Saul was a Jew, and he was a Pharisee. He was totally convinced that what he was doing was right. And they endorsed this. They give him the papers to go to Damascus. They was all in favor of him. And now here he finds himself disputing with them and trying to convince them that yes, this is the Christ. Does those of you that are unconverted, is this what it takes for you to be convinced that he is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he can be your Savior, that he can save you from your, he can forgive you your sins and save you from burning in hell's fire? Can you believe that? Can you trust in them words? Can you trust in them promises that God gives? If you can't, then you are not ready to accept him. You're not ready to go preach. You're not ready to do anything. You need to surrender all. Give it all up. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. And so you see, that's the thing that the Apostle Paul here had to do in order to go in there, dispute with the Jews that this is the way, the true way, which is Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to say, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. This is how much they hated him already. But they laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Rightfully so. And I probably would not have been one bit different. After all I heard about this man, and now he's going to come into our church, and he's going to come up here and preach? I don't think so. That's the way Satan would have it. Doubt, disbelief. But they were amazed. And I'm sure that the Lord spoke to them all so that they would realize, yes, he is a chosen vessel of mine. And when he said this to Saul, he said to Ananias, he said, go thy way, for is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now you see how the tables were turned around? He done all this persecuting, people suffering. Now it's your turn, Saul, and I'm going to show you what you're going to go through. Let me read to you some of the things that he had to put up with. In First Corinthians, we read where he talks about his life in chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Are ye ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness of and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, they care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. And if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, and so forth. So you see the things that he had to go through? Christ promised him, you're going to go through it. But you know what? We can read in some of the epistles where the Apostle Paul said, but God stood by me with all of these things. All of the things that he had to go through, he knew that God was with him. And that's a lesson I believe that you and another lesson that you and I need to learn. When we go through some of these things, we need to remember God has not left us. He will be still with us. He might see us going through, but we need his strength. We need his promises to cling to. And we need to love him. That's why he teaches us to love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. And when we do that, we can go through anything that this world has to offer. Any kind of persecution, any kind of disagreement, any kind of discouragement in life that we face. And we all face them. We all have them. There's no question. Yours might be different than mine, but I'm sure that you do have the same as any of us. So you see, we have we have these things in life simply because that's life, if you will. So it happens. Things happen. Sometimes you can't help it, sometimes you can. But we need to constantly do like the apostle did. Through all these things, God has saw me through. And he went through a lot. God help me that I never have to go through what that man did. But he did. He went through a lot. So you see, we can take lessons from what we have read here today. We can learn. We can be encouraged. We can be strengthened in our faith. But we need to constantly, constantly trust the living God. Trust Jesus Christ for what he is and who he is. And may God bless these words upon our heart. Amen.
You can see in the life of an individual how they were changed according to the power of God, how God worked in them, and how now they became a different person. We hear testimonies of individuals throughout life and how God has worked in their heart and how they turn to the Lord from their sinful ways. And here we can see that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. That was his mission. That was his mantra before. That was his purpose. Breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples. And yet God in his loving way, and Jesus coming and revealing himself to Saul by a voice and by a light, we see these great things. And he speaks to Ananias. And Jesus tells Ananias, this man who was breathing out threatenings and who was persecuting the church so severely, hailing men and women to prison, he is now a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. That's who Saul became, a chosen vessel for Jesus Christ. What a powerful testimony that was for Saul in this way. He had a zeal, but it wasn't founded on knowledge before. That zeal was misplaced. But now, as he comes to know this knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is, he went forth in zeal to serve the Lord in that capacity, in serving the Lord and in preaching immediately salvation through Jesus Christ, and that Christ was in fact the Son of God. And so it was then. He was persecuted, just as Jesus Christ said. But yet Jesus was with him. Jesus was with him. Because Jesus said he was a chosen vessel unto him. May it be our desire that as we would share a testimony of ours, how God changed us in whatever way, however miraculous or in a small way, however God changed us, that we would strive to be a chosen vessel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming Jesus Christ, glorifying his name. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.